Welcome back, guys. This is K-Pop Fighting. This is the co-host, TYB.
And this is Gion.
Alright, so, actually, for Korea, like, movie was, like, a big thing, actually, until COVID comes, of course.
Yeah.
Like, everyone watched movie. I was thinking of this episode because, actually, right now, there were two movies that everyone is talking about.
Yeah.
One is called Pamyo. I don't know what to say it in English. Another one is, of course, the Dune Part 2.
Yeah, the new Dune movie.
Yeah, Dune Part 2. And, like, the Pamyo one, it's getting, like, 9 million people now.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I don't really get the hype.
One of the biggest movie this year ever, right?
I mean, I should probably watch it, but, like, I have that weird thing, like, for the popular mainstream ones.
It's like Ex-Huma, right?
Yeah.
That's the name of the movie?
Yeah, it's like a Korean movie that is about, like...
Korean exorcism, right?
Yeah. More like a tomb raiding
tomb raiding.
Like the tombs of historical villains or historical...
ancestors.
Ancestors who were very devious and had like a very... very malicious life. And they are raiding their tomb.
It's like occult.
Yeah, but like there's a lot of spirits involved, a lot of bad spirits involved, of course.
I heard it was a really big thing, not only in Korea, but also Indonesia. Like it was really
big. I think I get the hype in Indonesia because there were actually this like
shamanistic
culture over there also.
Yeah,
and there was this horror film that was directed by a Korean guy, but was actually a Thai movie.
Rang
Jong. That was actually a really interesting one to watch also.
Yeah. And then the Dune 2 Part 2 was obviously a big thing in Korea too, of course.
Dune Part 2. I mean, it was like a really good follow-up movie to the first one, of course.
It was like, so actually many people are watching movies nowadays, which is a good thing, I think.
Yeah, cinema is back, finally.
Yeah, finally, yeah. I mean, in America, it kind of got back last year with the Oppenheimer.
And Barbie.
And Barbie, yeah, of course. At the Oscar, the Oppenheimer kind of like, basically.
Like sweep the whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Yes, sir.
It got everything. And I kind of knew it.
They deserved it, like, of course.
Honestly, like, I got the hype because I watched it and I felt just like, I realized that this is like, oh my God, this guy is like probably like a go-to this year.
Like after I watched it, I was like, oh yeah, Chris Nolan wants an Oscar. Okay, I get it.
I felt it was like a crazy movie, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, yeah, Barbie was a great movie too. I like the music of Barbie, actually.
Yeah. So did Ryan Gosling actually perform?
I didn't think so.
I didn't watch it. Like
I
only saw the results, but
me too.
I was actually looking forward to Ken.
I am Ken.
doing the live to the song.
The rock ballad, the cheesy rock ballad song.
Yeah.
Actually, Candy, the Barbie and the one, what is it? The Usher's halftime show.
Yeah.
Kind of remind me of like an influence of K-pop actually.
For sure.
Because like
sure.
Barbie is very disco.
Yeah, like
with the
that little pink mix of the 80s culture
and
like some K-pop for instance like Girls' Generation
sort of,
Twice,
Wonder Girls. But I still think the mainstream Americans don't get those like K-pop vibe in it. It's just too American, I guess.
Yeah,
like when you see Pink Panthers, you know she get it. She got the K-pop aesthetics.
Yeah.
But like when I watched Barbie, it was like sometimes like they didn't get the K-pop's power yet.
Yeah.
It's just hard to explain.
I mean, I think it's a cultural difference.
Yeah.
But K-pop has successfully blended into the American pop culture. I think that is why it may not be distinct, but you can feel the same vibe in the American pop culture these days.
Yeah.
And I think that is why Korean people don't really have the hesitance in American culture also.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, yeah, come to think of those culture differences, what do you think of, like, maybe is it too edgy? What do you think of, like, the Emma Stone and Robert Downey Jr.'s, like, incident?
Like, people really do claim that, like, it was, like, racist.
Yeah.
Towards Asian people, but to be honest, I don't really know, like who, like no one will ever know the in like what she and he intended to
even
do.
Probably they didn't even know. Probably.
Yeah,
I mean, you don't know yourself, you know.
Yeah, because like it is like the stupidest thing to do on live TV. Like, you were one of the biggest movie stars on the planet, and you get the award, and boom, like, you decide to
do some controversial,
to do some
work,
racist stuff to Asian people. Like, that is like. That is like the stupidest thing to do. So I don't think they intended it at all, but it might look like it. But so, but still, I love them both, Emma Stone and Robert Downey. So no one knows, but I think it is a stupid thing to like hate on them right away.
I think it was very like, you know, not willing, but like, you know, it's not, it was not an intention, but like,
yeah,
it was, you know, very, you know, they were waiting for that Oscar for long.
For
we
sure.
All know, right?
For sure. And especially RDJ.
He should have gotten like twice in this, like,
yeah,
with Chaplin and everything. And
yeah,
Emma Stone should have got it from La La Land. I
yeah,
like the poor things, but I think La La Land is a much, much
yeah,
better work
and,
for her.
And even with that that one movie, The Dalmatian.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Cruella.
Cruella was great work, too.
Yeah.
People hate this movie called Magic in the Moonlight, Woody
uh-huh,
Allen one,
uh-huh,
with Emma Stone and actually Colin Firth.
Yeah.
I even love that movie, too.
I
think she can get an Oscar even from Magic in the Moonlight.
Yeah,
like,
so like her performance is great.
Wow,
like, amazing.
It was so good. So, but they didn't get it, so it was their long waiting moments, so they kind of, you know, did things just you know,
like,
instinctively, and they were probably closer to Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah,
but
like I don't really get like why Jennifer Lawrence like stepped in during the like that is the thing that bugs me out. Like, and also, you know, RDJ, like RDJ and what was the guy's name, that dude from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, the Kwan.
Yeah,
I forgot his name too.
Yeah, like,
sorry,
he was the winner from last year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The supporting actor.
Yeah, and I think it's all like coincidence to do that, but I can see like the nervousness in RDJ's eyes, and how he was overwhelmed by the whole experience.
Yeah, Choi Kwan. Yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly,
amazing,
I think
actor.
That's not an intention, but those like, you know, unintentional kind of cut makes you
feel uncomfortable
and very, very tiresome, especially when you live in the USA. I agree with it. So there's always, you know, mixture of many points and everything.
Yeah, so
yeah, but
I mean, they're all humans at the end of the day, so
yeah. So
like
it's one of the reasons why I have to, you know, think of myself and this, you know, be careful too, I guess.
Yeah, like we all should be careful. Like, they might be unaware and they might be like ignorant in some points.
It's
so
worse. I mean, it's not blatant, but still can be.
Yeah.
Thing
so, like, I think like they would be careful from now on. Like, and that's all that matters.
I mean, Emma Stone was one of the first pop star who dropped K-pop on the mainstream TV show with the
mm-hmm.
K-pop. Yeah, yeah. I think it was Conan show. And
oh yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
He asked about it, and then she was talking about the "I Am the Best."
Uh-huh.
I am the best.
The
21 song. So
mm-hmm.
like, yeah, I mean, how can you be a like racist when you're like a fan of 21? Of course, it's like not even Blackpink, you know. It's like authentic. You know what I mean?
It's like
not,
back in the days, right?
Yeah, it's not that Blackpink is wrong or anything, but I mean,
mm-hmm.
21 is like not easy pick, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, it's not like pops. Blackpink is like a.
Yeah,
it's like Ariana Grande type level big, but
yeah.
21 was more like an indie back
yeah.
then.
Yeah, so like all I'm trying to say is that I think it is too soon to cancel them.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah, but yeah, it's just good to
watch
ourselves for sure.
Yeah,
yeah,
like I totally get how it got backlashed, but
I understand the emotion for
yeah,
sure.
Like,
yeah,
like I totally understand. Like as an Asian myself,
yeah,
like I do understand, but it's like it's not enough to get them canceled. So.
What bugs me more is when people, you know, the show Beef,
uh-huh.
season 2 is now all white cast.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, like, an intentional work. That's intentional.
Yeah.
That's something that bugs me. Or, like, you know, the, what is the TV show, Canadian TV show that's about the Koreans?
Kim's
Convenience.
Yeah, Kim's Convenience
Store. At a certain point, it becomes not the Kim's Convenience, but it's, like, Canadian friend who is a Kim's convenience friend.
Yeah.
That Caucasians became like a main character in the end. That's what I call like a intentional,
yeah,
systematical prejudice.
I mean, that's not like, good. I mean, even with that, like, I think like, even with that, I think, I don't, I like, even if that wasn't like intentional, like, still it gives people the ick.
Well,
so
it's not what I'm saying. When I say intentional, it doesn't mean they're trying to be racist.
No, but
it's more like they don't know much about Asia, so they are coming back to their comforting zones, you know.
Yeah,
like,
comfort, like
comfort zone.
Comfort story, comfort plot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Wow, now there's Caucasian men and women. Whew, so it's like so
yeah.
easy to for them to start.
Yeah, because like
movies.
That won't cause any trouble
for them. If they know yeah. what's going on. That's
because
the
like
problem.
if they mess with the script,
yeah.
like while talking about Asian problems, that might get them like fired, and
oh.
that might get them canceled. So
yeah, yeah. I'm not saying those executives are evil or anything like that.
Yeah,
no, come on.
I mean,
that's
I, mean
not,
I totally
not,
get it.
Yeah, I agree with you too. Yeah.
But through the power of culture.
It's a very complex work, but
yeah.
that's one of the reasons why it's so good to have those like a natural, very very, reaction or natural, try and error, natural feedback from people. Because sometimes, without any like systematic help, just
yeah.
naturally star comes, and that's what BTS how BTS came out, right?
Yeah,
like, I mean, no one in the radio or TV would have a. They're not racist, but like no one would have like a. Oh, what should I say? Brave.
Yeah.
No one have
like
that kind
the
of
guts to do it.
Yeah, no one has the guts to like actually support BTS and put them in the TV show
yeah.
or radio.
Because basically, like when they first got to the States, they were aliens.
Yeah. And song, we remember their pop songs like Dynamite, but the first song that they published was Fire. It's like unique and weird even to Koreans.
Yeah, like, I mean, it does have like a common sound.
Yeah,
with,
the rap.
With
yeah.
like raps and like the Skrillex type synthesizers.
Yep,
but
yep, yeah.
but still, it is an alien.
Yeah.
Because like, you know how like Juno Bong said, like that 1 centimeter of subtitles, if you overcome the subtitles, then you will be opened to a whole lot of great cinema. And I think that applies to BTS as well, with the Korean lyrics.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks to, like, the great BTS, like, they just opened up for a lot of Asian artists, like, Asian people to, like, have the spotlight
yeah.
they totally deserve.
Yeah, so I'm actually thankful for the whole circumstance in the end, I think. And I don't think there's, like, a one evil person who can blame on or anything. It's
yeah.
just very more complex, but I think just things should just hopefully it's getting better. And I think
but
it's
I
getting
feel
better.
It, yeah, I feel that it is getting better.
Yeah. And actually today our topic is on another example of that, like, you know,
for
getting
sure.
better, which is Wave to Earth.
That was a smooth transition.
Yeah, I never thought of it.
Yeah.
We never make any script, man. I don't write for this.
Yeah, we're basically freestyling the
yeah,
whole thing.
Yeah, every rambling. I never even thought of doing this Oscar thing, but like, you know, just popped up when I was talking about
yeah.
Dune. Because Dune will, you know, conquer the Oscar next year. We all
for
know.
For sure.
Yeah, it's going to kill the
I mean, like, unless
Oscar.
There's, like unless, like, another Chris Nolan movie drops.
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
It's just Dune.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, man. But
yeah.
still, like, the Wave to Earth is another good example of that, like, the things are changing because
yeah.
they're not, like, a super big label-supported or radio-supported. Not at all. They're
yeah.
just one Korean indie band.
Yes, signed to an indie label.
Yeah, signed to an indie label, but they're just naturally a pop star.
Yeah.
I was shocked when Dune introduced me Wave to Earth because of the, you know, views.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was like...
Because, like, how I got introduced to Wave to Earth
yeah.
was also really surprising because I believe it was last year or the year before.
Okay.
You know, there's this, like, Korean messenger called KakaoTalk.
Yep, yep, yep.
And you can set up a profile music
yeah.
on your profile.
Yes.
And, you know, all these, like, kids, I mean, not kids, but all these students from my college and high school are starting to put songs by Wave to Earth as their profile music.
Oh.
And they sounded so foreign to me. So I was like, are they, like, another like new band from the States.
That sounds, I mean, their all their lyrics is very, very American.
Yeah.
Like, and their sound is very indie, you know. Like,
yeah. So I went to peek their like Spotify account, and God, they had like 14 million like monthly listeners, and that really bugged me out because I never heard of them in Korean music industry, but like they're doing this well in streaming, and their like songs have like 14 million views, and I did listen to them. And they were so comfortable to listen to, very easy to grasp, and the lyrics were very beautiful.
Yeah, and they're like basically a natural pop star.
It really contains a lot of colors and textures, and they're like, even in their titles, like very, seasonal music.
Yeah, it's very like, it's one of those, you know, city pop, yacht rock type of very comfortable, smooth music. Mm-hmm. With sort of like a surfing vibe into it.
Yeah. The part really I was mesmerized was they have a song for the spring, song for the summer, song for the autumn, and the winter. So it really gives that they know how to create the atmosphere of the warmth and the coolness.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very hard to find, especially in the Korean music scene.
That's very interesting, man. Yeah. And also, what I was surprised was their like background too. I mean, probably you guys know more about Wave to Earth than me, but like,
yeah, for sure.
But we can explain their, you know, their atmosphere. Like, all of them are from like art college basically. Mm-hmm. And so they are basically majored in music basically.
Yeah.
Like Hwan University or Seoul Art University. Yeah. Like one of the best art music college, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
But they are all majored in it. But this is one of their projects.
Mm-hmm.
All of them are like, this is not their only project.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a band. It's more like a project.
Yeah, they started out like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the main vocal, who's a main songwriter.
Daniel Kim.
Yeah, Daniel is doing this work, but also The Pulse, which is like a... more like a British rock band.
Mm-hmm.
So at first they looked a little similar, but now they're just totally different. It's
like,
hard.
It's like a two different thing.
Yeah, you can't recognize them like on when their voice is same, of course.
I mean, the vocals are the same guys. But
yeah, but the sound is so different, you don't get it.
It's kind of like how Dave Grohl from Nirvana.
Yeah.
Like the music they make. You know, Nirvana's music and the Foo Fighters' music is like,
so
like,
different,
like
yeah.
180 degree different.
So different, yeah. And right now, other members all have a different project, like jazz and stuff. So it's like, I think it's like a new generation.
Yes.
Like, they are majored in art, and they are like they're treating band as like one of the project they just do, and they can do other stuff too.
And that seems very passionate because like, it doesn't seem like they're milking out. Milking the reputation of the band.
Nope.
It seems like they only come back when they have the specific idea, vision for the project.
Yep. Very natural, yeah.
Yes.
And then they are very, like, naturally global, you know?
Yeah.
Their lyrics is naturally English.
Yeah.
It's not like they're trying to be English.
Yeah. I mean, no. Like, they probably... I think that is like the best marketing weapon. Like, I don't think they like intended it to be like this global world stars, because I mean there are a lot of global world stars who started domestically, but what I feel like is that their music itself is that when they put out, it appeals to more mass audience, like globally, rather than this one like intense Korean rock band. And that part is the most surprising part for me, because they are really like literally world stars.
I mean, Spotify shows that they're world stars, and there's like, no way you can change
like
it.
It's on the similar level as like an American mainstream rapper, probably like on the similar level as French Montana,
probably. Yeah. That level, that's crazy. I mean,
but the fact that they're still considered indie
in Korea
is just like crazy. Like their potentials are like crazy.
And they are not like pop stars, you know, like the Hyogo went to Infinite Challenge, became rock star. But they are just indie band people who majored in music. Yeah,
they're just chilling.
Yeah, and they just, you know, gathered their band from like a church worship team. They're just so typical band teams.
Yeah, they're very Christian also.
Yeah, right? They're very typical, just, they're just one of us, you know what I mean? Like, they're one of those college students who are majored in music and making music naturally.
Yeah.
But their music is just naturally global, and they're just becoming a pop star.
And I think that is the part that appealed to Korean audiences also, because, you know, there are these stereotypes about, let's say, hip-hop and indie rock people, is that they try to be edgy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of true, but, like, most of them are false accusations, but there are, like, major stereotypes that they try to be different. They try to be, like extremely avant-garde. But Wave to Earth, what I feel about them is that they are literally looking for the beauty inside music and the world surrounding them. And I think that is the part that most appeal to the mass audiences in Korea.
They have like a very natural, it's a very naturality that I think grasp people. It's like they very naturally has some uplifting power and mood changers, but it's very, it's not like they're trying to do something or anything. They're not trying hard to like make
be different.
Not at all. They're just themselves, and ironically, that's the most unique thing.
And ironically, that is a punk thing to do.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. Like, you're right. Yeah, actually, trying to be punk is not just punk.
Yeah.
So like, there's not always the way. You know, you can be like, you know, Olivia Rodrigo with like a punk energy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, she's like punk, but also she's, but you can be also very naturally punk.
Yeah. Like, this is besides the point, but like, there's like this famous saying that I like. This is from Billy Joe Armstrong, who is the leader of the band Green Day. He said that one day a guy asked him, "What is punk?" And Billy just like kicked the heck out of a trash bin. And he showed him, "This is punk." And the other guy just followed him and like beat the crap out of the trash bin. And was like, "Does that make me punk?" And Billy said, "No, that's just following. You're not punk." Punk, like being punk, is just naturally doing what your instinct tells you to do, and going your own way. And what I'm trying to say is that in that aspect, just like naturally following the beauty of the world and the music, it's just like makes them very different and very, very beautiful.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's very. That is very Wave to Earth, I think. That's a good I think that's a good wrap up for the Wave to Earth. And I'm not gonna try to like, you know, teach you guys about Wave to Earth, because you guys probably know more about them than us.
Yeah,
but
they're very global.
Yeah. And I'm really into their music too right now. It's
yeah,
really good.
Like my favorite song from them, like as of now, it's gotta be Seasons, of course. It's their biggest song, but what I just said throughout this episode, like they color the world and their seasonal themes, like it just shows in this song called Seasons. And probably another song, Peach Eyes. It's it has lesser streams than Seasons, but still, like they have like 31 million views. Yeah, so Peach Eyes and Seasons. Those two are my recommendations. I mean, you guys already know those songs, but still, they're my favorites.
I love the surf.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, like, surfing rock, very smooth, and it just reminds me, like, of, like, you know, the beach and everything.
Yeah, it's one of their older songs,
right? Yeah, very old song. And the I really like the aesthetic. It's, like, very naturally. It's almost like a city pop LP title, but it's
very
really,
like Japanese, like 90, like 91, like 89,
80 to 90, like you know,
type feeling.
Yeah, those like Showa days when there was like a Mazda Seiko or those like old idols.
Yeah,
that's when it sounds
like before the whole like bubble like economy stuff.
Got clubs collapsed and like before Heisei days. Yeah, very very long time ago, basically.
Yeah, like almost 40 years ago.
Yeah,
right?
way before even I was born. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's, but it feels natural and very new too. Actually, that's very interesting.
And I think like that ironically just represented all of our like young generations these days. For some reason, it reminds me a lot of those days, like the current Korean music and pop culture days.
I can see what you're saying.
Like, it's basically on the prime, on the peak of Korean pop culture. And that just, like, represents the beautiness of the current Korean state. Yep. Yeah.
Sounds good, man. Yeah. So that was it for us. And next week, we were going to do, like, something totally opposite of Wave to Earth.
Yeah.
Like, Wave to Earth is, like, a global, but no one knows.
Yep.
But then we're going to do the Taylor Swift of Korea this next time. Which is IU. Yeah. She's, like, queen. Like, everyone in Korea knows. Like, I bet. Like,
everybody.
In Korea knows about her. But in America, I mean, of course, we know her. Foreigners know her as an actress, and they know some songs, but compared to Korea, she's not that big in foreign, like, just you know, by comparison, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in Korea, she's like...
Taylor Swift, yeah!
like, she is the biggest ever to do it.
Yeah, she's the... Probably...
She's like Michael Jackson level in Korean music scene.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's like add-on to Emma Stone, or like the heydays of Emma Watson, with... Taylor Swift, that's who she was. Yeah, that's
because
how
like she's also an actress
and one of the best actresses, actually.
Yeah.
So that's the level of hype that she was
in
Korea. So I think in like for the English audience, it'll be like a bit different story. But like that's, but of course they know IU.
I mean, of course.
Yeah, but like it'll be a little bit different. So it'll be a fun episode for you guys to watch. So let's stay tuned, and until then, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys.